Good morning, Shiloh. It is glad to be back. I thank you for a little reprieve from the Texas heat. I was glad to come back to the Northeast. As Pastor said, my husband is Reverend Willie A. Spann. And Deacon Poole made a comment about my husband. He said, I have to meet him because he's got to be a mighty man. And I looked at him. He said, he let you come all the way up here to seminary for all this time. There's got to be a mighty man. He is indeed a mighty man of God. Amen. We have been married for 15 years. My husband is a native of Macon, Georgia. He is the son of the late Gloria and Willie J. Ross. He has two sisters. Is a son, Aubrey. Our son is 21 and at Georgia Southern University right now. My husband and I met in Japan, and while in Japan, my husband was in the military. He gave 25 years to the United States Army. Ooh. He retired in 2010 as a lieutenant colonel, logistics officer. He's been in ministry for 19 years. So when I met him, he was a preacher. And I thought that was nice because I wasn't going to marry a preacher. But the Lord had something else in store. He graduated from Mercer University right there in Macon, Georgia. And he recently finished in December of this past year a master's degree from Phoenix University in public administration. He's currently on staff at Antioch with me as the pastoral care minister part-time. Prior to my coming here to New Jersey, we were in Virginia together where my husband was stationed at the Pentagon, but at the same time was pastoring Cartersville Baptist Church. And he was there pastoring, and God decided that he had to move us around. And he moved him to Texas, and he moved me to New Jersey. You will find out what your marriage is really about. Amen. When the Lord has to separate you. And the one thing I want to stand and say publicly about my husband was, he used to say to me, well, baby, when I retire, I'll support you in whatever you do. And I'll follow you where you need to go, or I'll just make it happen. So when he retired, and he had to go to Texas, and I had to go to New Jersey, I'm like, okay, Lord, we're going to see. Is he a man of his word? Is he going to do it? And he did it. He was my biggest supporter and my biggest cheerleader. And I want to publicly say to you, thank you. He kept a job so I could go to school. He paid all the bills so I could go to school and not have to work. That says a lot about who he is. But what you need to know, most importantly, what I want you to know is that he loves God. He's been preaching for 19 years, but he's been saved much longer than that. And the fact that he was a preacher gave me pause, but the fact that he was a saved man was the reason I knew I could marry him. Because I knew when things got rough, he would go down on his knees and ask God what to do for our family. And I thank him for that. So now you will hear from Reverend Willie Aubrey Spann. I asked him when we met, why didn't he tell me his name was Aubrey? He said, I wasn't really trying to get you. That was my Mac name, so I just told you Willie. I'm telling it all. So I want you all to welcome Reverend Willie Aubrey Spann, your preacher for the hour, my husband and God's servant. Thank you.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continue to be in my mouth. Y'all gonna help me this morning. I say I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises. Yeah, I say I will bless the Lord at all times. That means when it's good, that means when it's bad. That means when it's raining, that means when it's sunshine. That means when I'm down to my last dollar or I got a pocket full of money. That means whether I'm in Texas and my wife is in New Jersey, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises, not my praises, his praises shall continue to be in my mouth. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I was hoping my wife was going to tell you that I'm country, I'm loud, and I love to preach, and I love the Lord. So I'm going to apologize up front. I'm loud, I'm country, and I love the Lord. This is the day. that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad therein. First of all, we give honor to God who through his mercy and his grace allows us to see this another day. To the pastor of this great church who just a wonderful man. I don't even have the words to explain. I mean, y'all not struggle. Well, she didn't struggle. I struggled with us being separated. But the first time I came to this church and I met this pastor, I went back to Texas knowing that everything was going to be all right. So I thank him. Because I knew my wife was coming. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I bring you greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas, where my pastor is the Reverend Dr. Kenneth R. Kemp. And we've got a theme that we're working on, and it's called, We're Still Believing, Building, and Bridging with Intentional Faith. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited, I don't know what to do. I see some friends of ours and some folks who have just poured into our lives. To my right, is Reverend Laverne Gill and Professor Tepper Gill. Amen. From Northern Virginia. They would just stop by the church in Cartersville when I was in Northern Virginia. Amen. And as quiet as it's kept. Amen. Reverend Laverne Gill is also a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary. Amen. And was the reason my wife found out about this school. Amen. So we have a love-hate relationship. Amen. But I'm loving her today. Amen. Amen. And her husband, Professor Tepper Gill, who was a professor of mathematics at Howard University. Amen. And one other, and I'm going to get to that's my good friend. Amen. Another seminary husband, Brother Alan Oliver. Amen. And I would fly up once a month to spend some time with Mignon, and we would come here to church. And then when I got back, she would have to go to the library. Amen. And Alan's wife also is in seminary. Amen. And we would go out and eat, and we would just talk about how hard seminary was. Mind you, we ain't writing no papers. We ain't reading no books. We eat steak and drink and lemonade, but we made it, man. We made it. This is the day. Amen. Today is Sunday. I am a preacher. This is a work day. Let's go to work. Let's go to work. This morning, I want to draw your attention to a very familiar passage of Scripture, the 107th number of Psalms. The 107th number of Psalms. I'm not going to read the entire psalm. I'm going to preach the entire psalm, but I'm going to just read verses 1 through 3, and then I need to drop down and read verses 31 through 32. Psalms number 107, verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to drop down and read verses 31 through 32. Amen. I'm reading from the King James Version this morning. We find these words. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Dropping down to verse number 31 and 32. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Grand and gracious God, our Father, we thank you now for this another opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Now, Father God, we pray that you calm our minds and our spirit and breathe life into these few little scribbled notes, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you just be with us right now, for you are my strength and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. From this read passage of Scripture this morning, we really just want to zero in on verse number 2, where it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And just for a little while this morning, that's going to be my sermonic topic. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. My brothers and sisters, this morning as we open this text, I will tell you up front and confess that the entirety of this sermon is about praise. Praise, praise, praise is what we as believers in Christ. Yeah, well, somebody gonna help me, I see. Praise. Praise is what we as believers in Christ offer up to an almighty God for what he's already done for us. praise, 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 praise. We praise God, or we offer up praise in anticipation of what God will do for us in the future. We offer up praises to God right now for what he's doing right now. This is about praise. Praise, praise, although used in conjunction with worship, primarily during the praise and worship periods on Sunday morning in our services, is not to be confused with worship. Worship differs from praise in that worship is what we offer up to God simply for who he is. Yes. When we think about who God is, we should worship him. When we think about who God is, we should worship. For in the 105th number psalm, the psalmist being, oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Call upon his name. You do know what his name is, right? His name is Jehovah Jireh, which means he is a provider. His name is Jehovah Shammah, a God who is ever present. His name is Jehovah Rapha, a God who is a healer. His name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. His name is Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. His name is Adonai, he is our Lord. His name is Elohim, he is the Almighty God. My brothers and sisters, whether it is praise or whether it is worship, every now and then, when we think about who God is, when we think about who God is, when we think about who God is and his name, we ought to worship him and to give him praise. Well, this morning, this 107 number psalm is not only addressing who God is, but it highlights the praises of those who recognize what God has done for them. This psalm further serves as a model response for present day believers. It serves as a model for you and I. My brothers and sisters, when we pause and think about what God has done for us, we ought to offer up praises unto him.
Yeah.
Y'all, come on, help me this morning. Somebody here this morning, even before we unpack this thing, ought to give God praise for what he's already done. Let me tell you why. You see, you've not always lived where you live now. You've always not had that job or position that you have now. You've not always driven what you drive now. You've not always had the relationship with your children or your spouse that you have now. Y'all quiet, I might be where I need to be. You have not always worn designer suits and designer shoes. Y'all, we have not always worshiped in sanctuaries with padded pews and stained glass windows. Yeah, for many of us, and I'm talking about myself, for many of us, God has brought us. God has brought us. God has brought us. God has brought us. God has brought us from a mighty long way. And for that and that alone, we ought to give God praise. Well, Psalms 107 is one of the longest psalms and passages in the psalm. In your leisure, I ask you to read this text in its entirety. But in verses 1 through 3, this psalm is simply saying, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. For this morning, Shiloh, I must admit to you, I must admit and confess again that something, that the psalmist who wrote this text, who wrote this psalm, he wrote it just for me. I know you think he wrote it for you, but he really wrote this text just for me. You see, my brother, I have a bad habit. I don't like wasting a whole lot of time. Maybe it's my military. I don't like wasting a whole lot of time. If you can say it in 10 words, don't take 100. If you can do it in 10 minutes, don't take an hour. Oftentimes, even when I'm reading a book, I'll skip ahead to the final chapter so I can find out the end, and then I'll go back and get the details. So this 107th number of Psalms fits me perfectly. The reason it fits me perfectly is that the psalmist gets to the end up front. The psalmist tells us up front that at the end of reading the 107th number psalm, the response that it elicits is praise. Praise unto God. Praise God for what he's already done. That's why verse 31 and 32 say, that's why I say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. That's just fair to say, when we come into the sanctuary, we ought to lift up our hands. We ought to stomp our feet. We ought to give God praise. We ought to give him praise. For this psalm highlights in its first three verses that this praise comes from a people who have been through some things. Some people that have been through some tough days and some restless nights. That's why the psalmist, just like I am this morning, looks for a witness and says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Y'all do know redeemed people have been saved. Redeemed people have been bought with a price. Redeemed people owe their safety and security and salvation to God. And my question this morning to the saints of God who have assembled here at Shiloh this morning. Are there any redeemed folks in the house this morning? Is there anybody here today who will be a witness that you've been redeemed by the broken body and the shed blood of Christ Jesus? If it's so, you ought to give God praise. The text says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, walk with me for a minute in this text. First of all, in this text, we are not sure who is the author of this Psalms 107. Most scholars believe that it is a collective psalm written as a result of the Israelites returning to their homeland after being in captivity for 70 years. This psalm suggests that as this remnant of Israelites who have been in captivity reached the temple, reached the church, they began to look back. Yeah, every now and then it's good to look back. They began to look back over the last 70 years and realize that God had kept them. That they realized that God had been with them. They realized that God had been for them. And they realized as a result of looking back, seeing how God had even kept them in captivity, they began to offer up praises unto him. For the very first praise they offered was a praise unto God for keeping them during their wilderness experience. I told y'all I like to go to the end of the book and then go back and get the detail. But let's look at the detail. Verse 4 through 9 of this text tells us that the Israelites wandered in dry desert. They were looking for a place to live, but they couldn't find a city. They were hungry and thirsty, and they began to grow weak. But verse 6 of the 107th Psalm says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Look at here, my brothers and sisters. They had been wandering in the wilderness. They had been in a dry desert. They had limited food and water. They were looking for a place simply to lay their heads, and they could find no place. But the text says, then they called upon the Lord, and he heard their cry and delivered them out of their distress. Well, my brothers and sisters, many of us, like the Israelites, have been in some desert places. Many of us have been wondering, looking for a place to call home. Matter of fact, somebody here present this morning is still wondering in the wilderness of life, wondering from one relationship to the next, wondering from one job to the next, wondering from one school to the next, wondering from one man to the next man, wondering, yeah, y'all quiet, help me, Holy Ghost, wondering from one woman to the other woman, wondering from church to church. And just like the Israelites this morning, we find ourselves hungry, thirsty, and growing weak. Yet verse 6 again says, then they called to the Lord for help, and he saved them from their trouble. My brothers and sisters, there's somebody in this sanctuary this morning who at one time or another was wandering in the wilderness. They were wandering in dry places. But as we look back over our lives, as we look back over our lives in comparison to where we are now, We recognize and remember a God who delivered us from those dry places. We remember a God who delivered us from the wilderness of life. A God who delivered us from wandering. Delivered us, many of us, even from ourselves. Verse 9 says, for he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. When we think about how God has brought us out, we ought to give God praise. Let the redeemed. Let the redeemed. It's too early in this sermon to go here, but I think I'm going to have to go here. I'm not trying to blow anybody's cover this morning. Yeah, I know you are a deacon now. I know you on the deaconess board. I know you are trustee. I know you got a title of reverend, a minister before your name. I know you're the director of the choir. I know you're the president of the mission board. I know you don't live in the city anymore. You live in the suburb. I know you drive a fine luxury car. I know you got a college degree on your wall, but you ain't always had that. Oh, yeah, you look good now, but you used to be something. Matter of fact, all of us used to be something. Y'all quiet, let me go. You used to be an adulterer, You used to be a fornicator, You used to be an alcoholic. You used to be a cheat. You used to be a steal. You used to be a womanizer. I think I'm in the right house this morning. Yeah, all of us used to be something. I ain't trying to blow your cover. So if you just look at me and go, amen, they gonna know I'm talking about you. Come on. I see you. I see you. I see you. We good. I ain't trying to blow your cover. But if God has to deal with you, you ought to give God praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Y'all made me go there. Secondly, as this congregation gathers at the temple, they offered up praises to God for delivering them out of dark prisons. Part of this group remembered when they were locked behind bars in dark prison. In the details, again, verse 10 through 11 says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. For the writer of this song captures the praises of this remnant. I imagine they were remembering being locked away to the point that all hope was gone. Yet verse 13 of this text says, but they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Shallow this morning, many of us can relate to the members of this ancient congregation. I'm not talking about physical incarceration, but many of us have been incarcerated. Incarcerated mentally, incarcerated socially, incarcerated psychologically. Many of us have been bound by the prisons of life, bound by the prisons of sickness, bound by the prisons of abusive relationships, bound by the prisons of bad financial choices, bound by the prisons of a dead-end job, bound by the prisons of shattered dreams. But I'm a good news preacher, and I got some good news for you today. Simply that there is no prison that God can't deliver us out of. The Israelites, again in verse 16, were in trouble. Then they called upon the name of the Lord for help, and he saved them from their trouble. This morning, my brothers and sisters, we may find ourselves bound in chains. It is perhaps a result of our own rebellion against God. But the God whom we serve, the God whom we serve is a forgiving God. He is a God who is faithful and just. He is a God who can tear down prison walls. He is a God who can set us free. He is a God that has all power in his hand. And verse 14 in the details says that he brought them out of darkness and the shadows of death and break their bands in sunder. And when the Israelites reached the temple and looked back, help me, Holy Ghost, they remembered God who had delivered them out of their distresses of the wilderness and dry places. They remember God who delivered them out of dark prison, and they began to give them praise. If God has delivered you out of one of life prison and has set you free this morning, if you're not ashamed, if you're not too bougie, you ought to give God praise. This ain't about what he's done for me. It is what has God done for you. And if God has done anything for you, and I know he's done something for you because he woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. The blood is still running warm in your lips. You ought to give God praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Certainly in the details, verses 17 through 22. Highlights that when this ancient congregation reached the temple after 70 years of captivity, they acknowledged that God had delivered them out of the wilderness and dry places. They remembered that God had delivered them out of dark prisons. But a group of this congregation remembered how God had been a healer. It's in the text in Psalm 107, verse 17 through 18. The psalmist pens fools because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their souls have harbored all manner of meat, and they draw near under the gates of death. But let me simplify this for me this morning. Some members of this congregation, they remembered that they acted like fools. And they turned away from God. Y'all gonna make me go somewhere else this morning. You need to know that fools are still in the world. That's some tall fools. That's some short fools. They're African-American fools. They're Caucasian fools. Y'all check this out. They're educated fools. They're uneducated fools. They're rich fools. They're poor fools. Fools come in all shapes and sizes. They remember at how they suffered for the evil they did. And some became so sick that they refused to eat. That's a fool that refused to eat and almost died. Yet verse 19 said they were in trouble. So they called to the Lord for help, and he saved them from their trouble. Yeah, let me go again. My brothers and sisters, again, just because we live in an age of great technological advancement and intellectual curiosity, I want you to know that there are still fools in this world. Right. Fools who turn away from God. Fools who believe they know better than an all-knowing, ever-present, and all-powerful God. Fools who believe they can make it on their own. There's probably at least one fool sitting on your pew this morning. Don't be too quick to look around. You may find some folk looking back at you. Ooh. Members of this anchored congregation, they gathered at the temple. Remember when people turned from God. They remembered the consequences they encountered when they turned away from God. Some became so sick they refused to eat. And as a result, they almost died. Yet here again at the temple, they remembered that God is a healer. Yeah, fools, help me, Holy Ghost, fools. People who turned away from God came to their senses. Fools came to their senses and turned back to God. They called on God and God healed their bodies. And now at the temple, as they look back and remember, they begin to offer God praise. Shiloh, don't get all holy on me this morning. At some point in time in all of our lives, we have been foolish. We have not always obeyed the commands of God. And as a result of our disobedience, we have suffered. We may not have come to the point of physical death, but there are some things in our lives as a result of our foolishness we've suffered. The text says, verse 17, as a result of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, they are afflicted. Transgression is just a big word for sin, and iniquity doesn't mean they took sin to a whole new level. John talked about in my introduction about how we were separated. I was in Texas in San Antonio, and he in Princeton and Trenton, New Jersey for 3 years. But we have a saying that we've had in our relationship for a number of years now, and it's simply, you can choose your sins, but you can't choose your consequences. I could have been a fool in Texas. I was 1,592 miles away from my boo. I could have did exactly what I wanted to do. Didn't nobody even know me in Texas, but God knows all about it. You can choose your sin. Yeah. That girl told me when I got 10 years in the military, do what you want to do, because I'm going to get half of that check for the rest of my life. You can choose your sin. But you can't choose your consequences. Let me move. The Israelites, they chose. Y'all, it was a choice. We have choices. We can choose to serve God or flee from God. We can choose to be with God or turn away. It's a choice. Israelites chose to be foolish, and they turned away from God. They had no idea that their turning away from God would lead to sickness and almost death. And if you're here this morning, things in your life seem to be dying. You need to check your transgression and your relationship with God. This morning, if you find your family on life support, check your iniquities and your relationship with God. If your career seems to be comatose, check when was the last time you repented. If your finances need an infusion, examine simply how you're living and your relationship with God. But then, good news preacher shows up again. Verse 19 says, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their distresses. I'm going to go somewhere here on my own. Did y'all miss that? It said God sent his word. Help me, Holy Ghost. God sent his word. It didn't say God had to come down to Shiloh Baptist Church on June 23rd. No, God can just send a word. I wish I had a witness now that knows when you're in the hospital, God can just send a word. I wish I had somebody here who knows when you lose your job, God can just send a word. I wish I had somebody when mama leave you unexpectedly, God can just send a word. He can just send a word and heal us. Yeah. Anybody here? Anybody here know anybody? Anybody here know anybody that the doctor had given up on? Yeah. Or maybe it was you yourself. Maybe you had cancer. Maybe you had trouble with your kidneys. Maybe you had something going on with your heart. Maybe the doctors came to you and said, we can't do anything else for you. Yeah, maybe it's not you. Maybe you know somebody who's been through the truth. Maybe you know somebody. You hear this morning, there's some folk. If you don't know somebody, let me introduce you to somebody. 3 years ago, help me, Holy Ghost. 3 years ago, when I got ready to retire, Mignon had been accepted to Princeton. Help me, Holy Ghost. I had done 25 years in arm, hadn't had nothing more than a cold. Went in to do my out processing physical. Help me, Holy Ghost. And the doctor gave me the C word. He said, Colonel Span, you got cancer. Said, no, you need to go get somebody else's choice. Go look at this. I'm fat now, y'all. 3 years ago, I was slim and trim. Yeah. I ain't never been sick. He said, no, Mr. Span, we did the biopsy. You got cancer in your body. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how it is spread. We don't know. Hey. 3 years later, y'all, when I walk into my doctor's office now, we sit there and we talk about her kids. We sit there and talk about how I'm doing as a civilian. We sit there, you know why? Because the cancer is gone. You know why? Because I got a word. I got a good doctor, but I got a word. I got a word. I got a word. From the Lord. That's why I say when this thing becomes personal for you, you ought to give God praise. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. At the temple, this ancient congregation finds itself offering praises unto God for his power that delivered them out of prison from the wilderness and dry places. They offer up praises unto God for delivering them out of prisons. They are offering up praises unto God for healing. And finally, this psalm of praise closes with this congregation recognizing God as the one and only true God. A God that can keep us even in the storms. Keep us even in the storm. As part of this 70-year journey in captivity, in the details, verse 23 and 29 of this text tells us that remnants of this group were forced to travel by sea in order to work. If you allow me to take a shortcut here, it's just simply, it was during this time that they saw what the Lord could do. They saw the amazing things he did while he was at sea. The Lord would send a word and command, and a strong wind would begin to blow. Sailors on these ships, the waves would become higher and higher. The waves would lift their ships up toward heaven and then drop it back down in the deep sea. The storms were so dangerous that the men on this ship lost their courage. They were stumbling and falling like someone who was drunk. Their skills as sailors were useless. Every now and then, my brothers and sisters, storms come into all of our lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when storms come into our lives,
yeah,
storms don't play. Storms come with great destruction. Storms of death. Storms of sickness. Storms of children being in trouble. Storms of betrayal. Storms of being laid off. Storms. Storms. Somebody here this morning went to bed last night, laid your head on a pillow of peace, and yet sometime last night between your waking this morning, you find yourself in the middle of a storm. Verse 28 says that this group cried unto the Lord in their troubles, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Well, I got some more good news for you this morning. If you find yourself this morning in the middle of a storm, I stopped by to tell you, Stop by to tell you this morning on my way to my praise, that the God whom we serve, 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 the God whom we serve, the God, I'm trying to get somebody to help me here, the God whom we serve, the God whom we serve, the God whom we serve, can speak peace to the storm and calm the waves in our life. This remnant of the Israelites who have survived 70 years of captivity now find themselves at home and at the house of God. And as they gather themselves at the temple doors, they are remembering what God has done in their lives. And they begin to give him praise. Likewise, saints of God, here in Shiloh this morning, when we remember, help me, Holy Ghost, when we remember what God has done for us, help me this morning. If you've really been through something, play with me this morning. I'm talking about if you've really been through something, if you've been sick, if you've been laid off, if your children have been off the chain, if your wife has been tripping, if your husband, if you really, really been through something this morning, and you still here, help me, Holy, in your right mind, you ought to give God praise. Yeah. This 107 number psalm finds this congregation giving praise. They give God praise for bringing them through the wilderness and dry places. They give God praise for delivering them out of dark prisons. They give God praise for healing them when they were at the brink of death. And now they give praise for speaking peace to the storm. My brothers and sisters, every generation had a story to tell. Some praise God for being delivered from dry places. Some praise God for being delivered out of dark prison. Some praise God for healing. And others gave God praise for stopping the storm. My brothers and sisters, this morning, I don't know why you are here this morning. I don't know your current situation or circumstance. But this morning I ask you, regardless of your status or your situation in life, to meet me in this text and join the remnant of believers who have returned from exile and remember what God has done for you. I believe this morning. Maybe I'm crazy. I told you I was country and I was loud, but maybe I'm country, loud, and crazy. And if I'm crazy this morning, I believe this morning, if you make this personal, that if you remember what God has done for you, you will give him praise. For in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Peter pens, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or wrinkle, let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I'm on my way to my praise. It was God who gave you strength to raise your children all by yourself. It was God that kept you when mama died unexpectedly. It was God that blessed you with that job. It was God who gave you peace when the doctor said you had cancer. It was God that healed your broken heart. It was God that opened doors that allowed you to get in that school that you didn't belong in. It was God that kept you safe during the storms of summer and the bitter cold of winter. It was God who paid that debt when you had no money. It was God that kept your marriage together for 6 years, for 14 years, for 25 years, for 34 years, for 49 years, for 50 plus years. It was God who woke you up this morning. It is God who has kept us from our very existence until this present moment in time. It was God and God all by himself. And for that reason this morning, I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to raise my voice. I'm going to shout hallelujah. I'm going to shout to God be the glory. Shiloh, Shiloh, as a people of color in America, we are like the Israelites that had a difficult journey here in America. From slavery to segregation, from lynchings to cross burnings, from Jim Crow to the new Jim Crow, from being called the N-word, to colored, to Negro, to black, to African American. Matter of fact, we are people who really should not have survived. Yet this morning, as I look at you and you look at me, we are still here. Want to know the reason we're here? Help me, Holy Ghost. We are here. We are here this morning because our ancestors, down through the generation, cried out and called on God. And from one generation to the next, God has heard our cries and brought us out of the wilderness. God has heard our cries and brought us from some dark prison. God has heard our cries and healed us even in spite of us. God has heard our cries, and even today he's still bringing us through. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's bringing us through the storms of life, and for that we ought to give him praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, I'm going to proceed on this. Well, the final thing I give God praise for, and this is my praise. It's personal for me right now. I praise God for my redemption at Calvary. My brother and sister, one Friday, 2,000 plus years ago, God knew I was going to need a Savior, and
because he loved you and I so much, he sent his only begotten son into the world to become a living sacrifice for your sins and for my sin. It was Friday that they nailed Jesus to the cross. It was Friday that they pierced him in his side. It was Friday that they crowned him with a crown of thorns. It was Friday. On Friday, he died. He died for you. He died for you. He died for you. But he died for me. He died. I know I'm jacked up sometimes, but he died. He died for me. He died on Friday. But this is my praise. I praise him for Friday. I praise him for Friday. But that ain't the end of the story. I praise him for Friday. He was in the grave all night Friday. He was in the grave all night Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Power over storm, power over death, power over sickness, all power in his hand, all power. And he is my Lord, he is my Savior. But this morning I'm praying because he is my Redeemer. And for that reason alone, I stop by to give God praise. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord.
Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess and clergy. Two invitations. If you don't have a church home, we want to invite you to come and join with us here at this Church of Zion. But even more important than that is, if you don't know the Lord Jesus for yourself, we want to offer you a relationship with God the Father through the Son Jesus. And so the choir is going to sing. And as they sing, you can step out, give us your hand, and give God your heart. In the name of Jesus. Come on, choir. Anybody here today? Anybody here today? Anybody here today?
With one accord. Every praise.
Thank you, God.
Every praise.
Thank you, God.
Say hallelujah.